The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts, Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, Habibi Rabbil Alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan ila yawmiddin, Allahumma faqihna fi ddin. وعلمنا التأويل وألهمنا رشدنا يا رب العالمين الحمد لله. We're continuing to look at the 40 hadith Qudsi, these 40 divine narrations. Words related to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So words inspired to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding meanings inspired to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stopped at hadith number 32. We did not. So hadith number 32. An Abi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال يخرج في آخر الزمان رجال يختلسون الدنيا بالدين يلبسون للناس جلود الضأن من اللين ألسنتهم أحلى من العسل وقلوبهم قلوب الذئاب. So the first part of this hadith is our words of the Prophet ﷺ. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, يَخْرُجُ فِي آخِرِ الزَّمَانِ. At the end of time, people will come forth who gather the worldly with by the religious. They gather dunya, they gather worldly matters with the religion, through the religion, through religious matters, the teaching of deen, the teaching of Quran, wa'adh, religious inspiration, etc. But why is it being done? It's being done for dunya. They yalbasuna linnasi julud al-da'n. They wear, you know, fine sheep leather. Dhatn is the male of sheep. What do you call? Right? They wear fine leather in front of people. Their tongues are sweeter, ahla, min al asal, than honey. But their hearts, so they are adorned in very seeming clothing. Their tongues are sweet. Right? And literally, of course, means their speech is pleasing. قلوبهم قلوب الذئاب. Their hearts are like the hearts of wolves. Right? They're predatory. Whereas hearts are meant to be caring. Right? Hearts are meant to care for others, but they are predatory. So this is these are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he says, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Allah Most High, Allah Mighty and Majestic says, right? أبي يغترون أم علي يجترئون. Right? Is that are أبي يغترون, by me are they deluding, or against me are they having audacity? Right? أبي يغترون, you know, by me are they deluding others, or against me are they being audacious? Right? Because these are matters of the deen. Right? So the matters of the deen, these people come and they'll abuse them by their appearance, by their speech, by the way they try to influence people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, is it by me that they will delude others? Or do they imagine that against me will they be audacious? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبِي حَلَّفْتْ, says, by myself do I swear, لَأَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَى أُولَٰئِكَ فِتْنَةً تَدَعُ الْحَلِيمَ مِنْهُمْ حَيْرَانَ, says, I swear by myself, right? فَبِي حَلَّفْتْ لَأَبْعَثَنَّ, right? I will surely send against such people fitna, tribulations, that would make the forbearant of them completely bewildered. Rawahu Tirmidhi. Nasarullah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-afiyah. So this is one of the signs of the end of times, that there will be those who misguide. There will be those who misguide. And a function of that misguidance, what? Is distance from knowledge. Right? And distance from, and people who are not directly connected to those who are rasikhuna fil ilm, those who are firmly rooted in their guidance. So they'll come forth. And what are people affected by? Their appearance. They're affected by their words. They're affected by their influence. Right? Their influence. قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الذِّئَابِ. Their hearts are like the hearts of wolves. Right? They are trying to capture people's attention, trying to influence them. Right? No, nothing is mentioned about their knowledge. Right? Did they learn through people who are worthy? Number two, do people who are worthy approve of them? Not just did they approve of them when they studied, because they may have studied. Right? But those are the two salvation things. One, the first thing to consider, is this person qualified to teach what they teach? Did they study it? And don't make assumptions. Number two, do the people of knowledge approve of them? Like now, right? And that's the safety net. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears that do such people think that by me, right? By me, by what I hold sacred, will they delude others? Or do they imagine that against me will they be audacious? Allah says, then by myself, but I swear by myself that I will surely send upon them fitna. Right? And it's in the indefinite fitnatan litafkhim. Right? You know, terrible tribulations that would leave the forbearant amongst them, bewildered. Why? Because bima dinta tudan, as you are, so shall you find. Rawahu al-Tirmidhi. So this is something to be careful about, particularly as we draw further and further from the time of the Prophet ﷺ, with respect to whom we take religion from, but also of avoiding being like that. A lot of people, they take care of looking religious, speaking religious, having influence in matters of religion, but not to be religious, right? Not to, they don't focus on their iman, their taqwa, their akhlaq, how they are, on their knowledge of the religion. Nasarullah al-afiyah. Right? But also the safety is to remain connected with those who have studied the deen with the, actually. Right? This is why the Prophet, the early Muslim said, al-isnadu min ad-deen. The chain of transmission is off the religion. Were it not for the chain of transmission, anyone could say anything. إِذْ لَوْلَ الْإِسْنَادِ لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. So remaining connected to that, right, oneself, and only taken from those who are connected to that. And you'd be surprised how many people go out there teaching things that they have no permission or authorization or no study of. And they make Hadith number 33 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث في شأن يوم القيامة. So Abu Hurairah relates from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as part of a longer hadith regarding the affairs of the day of resurrection. فأقول يا ربي أمتي يا رب أمتي يا رب أمتي. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, on the day of resurrection, I will say, O Lord, my community, O Lord, my community, O Lord, my community. And this is at the beginning of, after the mahshar, when people are gathered and Allah manifests a little of His majesty. Right? So, and the sun comes close to the place of gathering. And the Sahabi did not remember exactly how close it would get. Okay? But the dunu shams, and people start to drown in their own sweat. Right? And people will be gathered that day as yet unclothed. And say, the Aish asked, but wouldn't people be embarrassed? Said, no one would have, would have time to worry about another. And Surah Al-Hajj, for example, the opening of it, describes the general terror of that day. But that it's general, but it's not absolute, as we know from other texts. Right? Right? From the Prophet ﷺ. There are those who are under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne. But there's categories of people like that. But and the Prophet ﷺ himself is in a state of salam, of peace. And his concern is ummati, ya Rab ummati, ya Rab ummati. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. So Allah, mighty and majestic. Now how does the Prophet ﷺ know it? How does the Prophet, this is of the unseen. This from the ghaib. It's of the future. But the Prophet ﷺ knows it بِإِخْبَارِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, by Allah informing him of it. النَّبِيُّ هُوَ الْمُخْبِرُ عَنِ الْغَيْبِ. النَّبَأ هُوَ الْخَبَرُ. The Prophet, a prophet is called a prophet because they receive prophecy. They receive نَبَأ of matters unseen, matters unknown to normally. Yeah, of matters normally unknown, that are normally of the unseen. But Allah has informed him of this, right, through wahi. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُ. So Allah Most High, Allah Mighty and Exalted, says, يَا مُحَمَّدْ أُدْخُلْ. أدخل من أمتك من لا حساب عليه من الباب الأيمن من أبواب الجنة. وهم شركاء الناس فيما سوى ذلك من الأبواب. رواه الترمذي. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, enter from your community those who have no reckoning against them from the rightmost gate of the gates of paradise, while they share with all others from the rest of the gates of paradise. Right, so there'll be some people, because there are different gates of paradise through which the people who are had particular distinctions, the people of fasting, the people of prayer, the people of generosity, etc., would enter. But there is a door designated purely for those who have no reckoning against them. And there's hadiths that describe some of the qualities. The most important is, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. They have complete trust in their Lord. Right? And they have pure tawheed. Right? They do not take false omens. They do not have anything that colors their tawheed. Right? But the reality of tawheed, of course, is not related to actions. The reality of tawheed is they have pure, consummate awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The consequence of which is complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next hadith, hadith number 34. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الله عز وجل يقول يا ابن آدم تفرغ لعبادتي أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك وإلا تفعل ملأت يدك شغلا ولم أسد فقرك. رواه الترمذي. So أبو هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه relates that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says that Allah Most High, Allah Mighty and Exalted says, O child of Adam, تفرغ لعبادتي, free yourself up for my devotion. I will fill your heart with wealth. Right? With wealth, غنى is wealth, or it's with complete freedom of neediness. I'll free you of all need. That's what ghina is. Wealth is being free of all neediness. وَأَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. And I will take care of your poverty. And if you do not do so, وَإِلَّا تَفْعَلْ. And if you do not do so, أَمْ مَلَأْتُ يَدَكَ شُغْلًا. I will busy your hands. Meaning, your hands, I'll keep you busy. وَلَمْ أَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. And I will not fulfill your poverty. رَوَاهُ الْتِرْمِذِي. This is related by Imam al-Tirmidhi. So we'll stop there. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا وَنَبِيْنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. We were also reading from تَعْلِيمُ الْمُتَعَلِّمُ, where did we reach in Ta'lim al-Mutallim? Yes, so we looked at some of the hadiths related to the importance of intention. Right? And that, so one is that actions are by intention, then some things appear worldly, appear religious, but they're in reality merely worldly. And other things appear worldly, but they are in reality religious. Right? So what should one intend? Imam Zarnuji says, وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَنْوِيَ الْمُتَعَلِّمُ بِطَلَبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Right? It is incumbent upon the one seeking knowledge to intend with their seeking of knowledge the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رِضَى اللَّهِ. Right? Right? Allah's good pleasure, His closeness, His love, the meanings related to Allah Himself. Right? The good pleasure of Allah, the closeness of Allah, the love of Allah, and these are interrelated. And وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ and the next abode. Right? To seek Allah Himself. You seek Allah Himself, the good pleasure of Allah, the closeness of Allah, and the love of Allah. These are what is entailed by seeking Allah Himself. Right? فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ So whoever longs for the meeting of their Lord. Right? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Let them perform deeds that are virtuous. So the basis of doing something righteous, such as seeking knowledge, is you're seeking Allah, the good pleasure, closeness, and love of Allah. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو اللَّهِ Truly you have in the Messenger of Allah the most beautiful examples for whoever seeks Allah. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ And the next abode. And the next abode is مَحَلُّ ظُهُورِ رِضَى اللَّهِ is a place where Allah's good pleasure is manifest for those who are seeking Allah Himself. Or it is a means, right, for those whose resolve is not as high to have a facilitative goal. If you cannot have the absolute goal, it should be Allah Himself. But for some people, that may seem too abstract. So you say, well, there's this garden that's promised. Go there. You should go because you want to see the king. Some people don't get why seeing the king is such a big deal. So, well, there's this beautiful garden and there's fruits and flowers. You get there. You get there, you're close to the king, all is well. Okay? And at the least, you're outside. You're saved from the madness that is outside the king's castle. Okay? So, that's either the consequence of seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah has prepared in the hereafter, if one has high resolve, if one has lower resolve, if you can't have the highest motive, at least be practical. It's better to get to the king's garden than it is to be outside in the tribulation. And then how do you seek the pleasure of Allah in the last day? And the next abode, وَإِزَالَةَ الْجَهْلِ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ And to remove ignorance from oneself. وَعَنْ سَائِرِ الْجُهَالِ And from other ignorant people. Because ignorance is harmful. If you don't know how to seek the good, you won't be able to seek it. Right? You'll be lost. And that's why knowledge has been described as light. Right? Because ignorance is you're lost in the dark. Or in the shadows. From oneself and from all those ignorant. Of course, and the greatest ignorant is ignorance of Allah Himself. Right? Which is why it is so critical to call oneself to Allah, to know Him and to seek Him and to call others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Which is a truly neglected duty. وَعَنْ سَائِرِ الْجُهَالِ وَإِحْيَاءَ الدِّينِ And to intend to give life to the religion. How? By living it oneself, not just in form, but in its spirit. Because someone who's alive has a body that's alive, but they have a soul. Right? So ihya is for religion to be alive in your conduct, but also in your spirit. Which is ihya ad-deen, to give life to the religion within yourself, right? And to give it life in the lives of those around you. وَإِبْقَاءَ الْإِسْلَامِ And to the preservation of Islam, which is an obligation. This is what the Messenger has come with, and its preservation is the first, the most incumbent duty on the Ummah. Right? وَإِبْقَاءَ الْإِسْلَامِ فَإِنَّ بَقَاءَ الْإِسْلَامِ بِالْعِلْمِ Because the preservation of Islam is by knowledge and by knowledge alone. And this is something that the Ummah took care of so well that in Imam Ghazali's time he was complaining there's way too many scholars. If people were sincere, more people would become doctors and we'd have fewer fuqaha. You go to any city, there's just so many scholars lying, you know, like all around. But it's hard to find, in many Muslim cities, hard to find a doctor who's Muslim. The doctors were respected, but honestly, would you rather treat someone's body or would you rather help them with their heart? So Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, of course, when he sought a doctor, they found Maimonides. وَلَا يَصِحُّ الزُّهْدُ وَالتَّقْوَى مَعَ الْجَهْلِ. And it is not possible to have zuhud, to have renunciation of worldliness, nor taqwa, nor mindfulness of Allah, with ignorance. Because if you don't know what zuhud is, how it is acquired, what vitiates it, what sullies it, then how can you have it? Right? Likewise, taqwa. You don't know what taqwa is, how can you seek it? How, if you don't know how to acquire it, how can you acquire it? If you don't know the things that go against it or diminish it, right? So one needs knowledge for taqwa. And then he quotes some poetry regarding this meaning. Right? So the virtues are not possible. And he just mentions two, taqwa and zuhud, the acquisition of all virtues of the deen. They are only possible. So he says, وَأَنْشَدَنِي الْأُسْتَاذُ الشَّيْخُ الْإِمَامُ الْأَجَلُ بُرْهَانُ الدِّينِ صَاحِبُ الْهِدَايَةِ. His teacher, the great scholar and imam and sheikh, Burhan al-Din, the author of the Hidayah, quoted him some lines of poetry that some people said. The author of the Hidayah, Imam al-Marghinani, Imam Burhan al-Din al-Marghinani, was the main teacher of Imam al-Zarnuji, the author of this text, Ta'lim al-Muta'lim, that we're studying. And Sahib al-Hidayah, Imam al-Marghinani, was a 6th century Hanafi faqih, was one of the greatest middle-age scholars of the Hanafi school. If you think, if you divide the Hanafi school into early, mid, and later scholars from the middle age of the Hanafi school, and his commentary, the Hidayah, is the greatest commentary authored in Hanafi fiqh. Nothing before it serves the function that the Hidayah serves, and nothing after it compares to it. So much so that the Hanafis wrote poetry in praise of the Hidayah. One of the great Indian scholars of the 20th century, he was asked, could he write a commentary on the Hidayah like Fathul Qadir, which is a commentary on the Hidayah? He said, yes, he can. And he was a very amazing scholar, Imam al-Kashmiri. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Kashmir and its people from the oppression of the Indian government. And he was sort of really relaxed when he said, but I said, could you author a commentary like the Hidayah? And his face changed and he was like almost shaking. He said, not even a few lines. Right? And Imam al-Marghinani, the Hidayah is about 1,200 pages. There's four parts to it. The first two volumes and the second two volumes. Right? And it's in the Indian subcontinent, they sort of use a, because al-awwalayn and al-akhirayn, the first two volumes, they study it over 2 years in madrasas intensively. But they call it hidayah, but they then refer to the book because of that as hidayatul awwalin wal-akhirin, the guidance for the first and the last. But it actually is awwalayn, the first two volumes, and the second two, but it took from it the meaning. And they say, man fatahu al-hidayah, فَقَدْ فَاتَتْهُ الْهِدَايَةِ. Whoever has missed the Hidayah, the book, has missed the Hidayah, the guidance. Whoever misses out, misses out. So Imam al-Marghi, and Imam al-Marghinani authored this work. It's 1200 pages over 10, 11 years, maybe longer. And he was fasting throughout. Of course, it doesn't mean he's fasting every day, because haram to fast every single day. But he was consistently fasting through that time. Right? But he was hiding his fasting. So his own servant would bring the food to his office during the day, and through a back door, he'd give it to the poor, right, and to different people, discreetly. No one, even his own family, didn't find out that he'd been fasting the whole time. And he'd made that a commitment to, for his book to be blessed. So he quoted from some people, فَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ عَالِمٌ مُتَهَتِّكٌ وَأَكْبَرُ مِنْهُ جَاهِلٌ مُتَنَسِّكٌ هُمَا فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ عَظِيمَةٌ لِمَنْ بِهِمَا فِي دِينِهِ يَتَمَسَّكُ. So he quote, tremendous corruption in this world. To tremendous corruption is a scholar who has no restraint, right? Who does not restrain themselves. And even greater corruption is an ignorant devotee, somewhat mutanassik. They engage in acts of devotion, but they haven't gained knowledge. Both are a trial, are a tribulation, fitna, in this world that is tremendous. Both are a tremendous tribulation in this world for anyone who in their religion takes them as their example. A scholar who's mutahattik, they go against all that they teach. Tahattaka, just exceed all their bounds. Nasallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or an ignorant person who's devoted. They're trying to do good acts of worship. Nusuk are acts of worship. But they have no knowledge of what they are doing. And that too is a tremendous fitna. So the key intention is seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? By the removal of ignorance, which prevents benefit, right, from oneself and others. To give life to the religion for oneself and others. To preserve Islam, right, and to acquire all the virtues. And he mentions two of them. Zuhud. Why does he mention zuhud? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, izhad fi dunya yuhibbuka Allah. Renounce worldliness and Allah will love you. And nothing is mentioned. Do this and Allah will love you as much as renouncing worldliness. But what is renunciation? What is worldliness? How do you acquire it? What are its stages? What are its signs? This is knowledge. Right? So this is the acquisition of virtue, which is not possible without knowledge of virtue and how it's acquired. Right? And these are two great harms. A scholar who does not, who exceeds all bounds, who gained knowledge but did not gain knowledge with intention. And they gained knowledge just liqala alim. So it's said that they're a person of knowledge. Or a devotee. They said, okay, I should do worship, but they didn't gain the knowledge. They'll create harm. And likewise, it's not just the jahil mutanassik, but also the ignorant person who's trying to serve the religion of Allah. And there's many of those people around in our time. They don't learn anything, but they started their own Facebook live feed and they're teaching God knows what. And do you know? Well, kind of. I'm reading it from a book. Right? And both are tremendous fitna. They harm themselves, but they are tribulation for those who take them as their source of religion. Right? Nasal Allah al-Afiyah. Inshallah, we'll stop there and we'll continue. He treats the intention with some detail. He mentions some of the other intentions behind seeking knowledge. But this, right? That knowledge is for Allah and for all the meanings that lead one to Allah and facilitate for others to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.